Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarkilas Pilipinas podcast.
You're listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smarkilas Pilipinas podcast. Stan, Ro, and Raph together again, and it's a special episode because from the start to the end, we're going to have a fourth guy with us, and this is a guy you've been seeing a lot of since February when you first showed up on our shores. Please welcome back beautiful Billy Suede.
Hey! Yay, hi.
I thought all of us were going to...
I don't know if the listening, well, the listening audience out there can't see me, but I'm putting up the four.
Right now. Yeah.
But he is a two-time guest.
Two-time guest, yeah.
Four horsemen because, we're four right now, and yeah. He's been here 4 months.
4 months, yeah.
Actually, yeah.
4 months. That's been a while. I thought that was what that meant. I thought the four was for 4 months.
Well, yeah.
Then I realized, no, it's four because we're four at the moment.
Yeah. Either way. Pig cheese, yeah.
So I'm sitting across Camus has this really huge shit-eating grin on his face because his Warriors won the championship this week.
Yeah, it's true.
So congrats, Camus.
Yeah.
Your team did what 29 others could not.
Yep.
And there are no fallen comrades, tributes, or whatever,
yep.
So good job.
Yep.
So now let's move on from that because everyone's sick of hearing about the Warriors.
I don't have to talk about it because I've talked my shit on the internet. I'm good.
Yeah.
It's all out.
So we're done with that. So let's talk about something that's very important to a lot of us, specifically our friend Anthony Coelho. And this is Unli Rice, right? So you see, Unli Rice has been a blessing since I think Mang Inasal was the one that made his famous.
Popularized.
Yeah, I think Mang Inasal has really made it popular.
Is there anyone out there who would like to stake a claim to the first Unli Rice restaurant?
Unless Chick Boy has something to say.
Hey, Chick Boy is closing down left and right.
Yeah, right.
So you guys are talking about Unli Rice when like say at a Mang Inasal, the guy with the bucket.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Pretty much, yeah.
I think Tokyo
Had it first.
Tokyo is the innovator.
In the mid-2000s, I remember.
They were the first ones to walk around.
So imagine a Japanese restaurant. Yeah, with buckets of rice, right?
All your tempura. Yeah.
So Mang Inasal made this popular in this decade at least. And like my record at Unli Rice is 9 cups for a single chicken breast.
Wow. One protein to nine.
Yeah, nine carbs.
So like Nicole asked me actually in a side chat. She was like, How do you do this? And I'm like, Unli soup, baby.
Mr. Sway, what is your personal record for Unli Rice, if there is any?
I'm more of the, I would get like the chicken combo and then the one piece barbecue combo. So that both comes with rice. So I never get the unlimited rice deal. I get two out of the way. I'm cool with that. Right?
You have a physique to look after.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I'm going to keep my beautiful physique up, tip top. You know what I mean?
What about other Japanese restaurants? Tokyo Talaga.
Yep.
Like, before Yabu, before any.
No, because Yabu.
Or Saboten.
No, all of these katsu places, the Japanese model really is everything else is Unli. You just pay for your meat.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm more of an Unli cabbage guy, actually.
I'm an Unli miso soup guy.
Yes, Unli miso soup. Yes.
Damn it, man.
I like the Unli corn salad sa katsu sauce.
Sure,
Sounds pretty good. So Unli rice.
Back on Unli rice. Because recently.
People love it.
Recently.
Yesterday, from the time of recording, yesterday news came out that Senator Cynthia Villar proposed a bill to ban Unli rice.
Why?
No,
why? Because of diabetes. not diabetes. Diabetes.
Yeah, because that's what your tita would call it, right? So Senator Villar is trying to be your concerned tita, who's trying to tell you to back off the rice because it's bad for your health. Yeah. And because it makes the Philippines more rice sufficient. Like, we don't have to import shit from other countries.
Sure.
Makes sense, though. That doesn't quite make sense.
No, because demand for Unli rice is not that great.
If you think about it,
supply and demand, like, basic economic standpoint,
okay,
it doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Professor Camus, for that.
Sorry, I work in the food and beverage industry.
We actually do import our rice, if you know that. We import our rice from elsewhere, from China, I think.
Yes.
Japan, yeah.
If
yeah.
not China, probably Vietnam.
Yeah.
So those
like
are
that.
Our suppliers.
Oh, yeah. So we don't actually, you know.
We are not self-sufficient.
We don't rely on our rice production, so that sucks.
So those were her data points. Those were her reasons for proposing that bill. So naturally, people got triggered. People on social media were calling for her head. People were saying, don't vote for this person the next time she runs. All that kind of shit. Which
Thomas is limiting.
You know, you know what? You know what the best part about all of this is? Mang Inasal actually made a statement.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Everywhere. They said.
And they said.
And he quotes.
Triggered ako, bitch.
No,
that is
not
account.
What they said.
That is a fan account.
They said, I am sobrang triggered po.
Yes.
There you go.
Wow, you even get this wrong. But on the real though, the many people who are mad at the, you know, this at this Unli Rice ban, the proposed Unli Rice ban, don't actually get Unli Rice, I think.
Yeah.
When,
yeah.
you, when you think
yeah.
about it,
yeah. I, see that,
I think you're just mad at, you know, the possibility of banning rice in general.
Right.
or that someone's trying to take away a nice thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
when someone takes away a shiny new toy,
yeah,
even
yeah.
though you don't play with the toy, you're kind of upset. Because
right.
what if you want to play with that toy?
Yeah, yeah.
What if you want to have a cheat day where you can have 9 cups of rice
yeah.
for one chicken breast,
it's
right?
Like, it's like having that free thing and like either whether you use it or not, like if you take it away, it's like, hey, what the, you know, what are you doing? You know, like you don't want to, yeah, you're right. You don't want that taken away from you. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I guess that's why people are pissed off. And like I've sworn off Unli Rice for a good 5 years now.
Yeah.
So like I'm not as affected, but I can understand why friends like Anthony are very triggered. Right. So it's funny because at the time of recording this morning, Senator Villar came out and said that, no, I'm not really proposing a bill to ban Unli Rice. You know, I'm just concerned for people's health. I don't really want to do this. So now she's trying to come across like really the protective Tita, except that she's not as hardcore as she was yesterday. And I think it's just a whole load of baloney, you know, on top of the news of the DOT and McCann and that campaign, how that
That's
just
going.
Went down. Right. It's
Advertising
really
world's on fire as well.
Yes. I guess the point of this little conversation on the Unli Rice is to show you how our country finds the craziest things to obsess over.
Not just basketball.
Mm. Aside from basketball,
yeah.
Yeah,
jeez.
Or big jokey or anything like that.
Or like the private lives of celebrities, right? Like fucking Unli Rice.
Yeah.
Of all things
right.
that you can make a bill about or try to solve, you fucking focus on Unli Rice.
Right.
Like there are bigger problems.
Clearly.
Right.
Clearly. Anyway, so now that we've got our foreplay out of the way, you know, we got Billy Suede here because, yeah, it has been 4 months since he's been here.
4 months, yeah.
And at this point, like, how would you assess your familiarity now with the country, at least with the Metro?
Well, with the Metro, oh my God. Like, well, I'm pretty, like, in the first podcast I was here, I mentioned about how crowded, you know, the whole traffic issue and stuff like that. And I think being here now, like, I've sort of got, well, I've gotten used to it, right? The whole traffic thing and the whole crowded thing. But, like, still, I, like, that's pretty much the biggest thing that I will tell people that haven't been here yet is that the fact that there's so many people here. And it takes a while to figure out, you know, and get used to, you know what I mean? And, like the other week, I was in Manila at the Divisoria.
Yeah, nice.
Because I was getting
you were in Stan's hood,
right? Yeah.
That is not my hood, but okay.
I was
been on this hood.
I was getting t-shirts for wholesale.
Sure.
Of, newly.
Yeah. Oh, Stan! Hey, yeah. Oh no!
Wait, available on Sunday?
Available on Sunday?
Yeah, someone. It's about to drop some heat.
Yeah, someone's joining the merch wars.
Oh shit, I'm getting on that.
So I went down there and like it was, you know, it was like maybe like around 11, 10 o'clock in the morning, and like still, even that little corner of town, like there's just like massive amounts of people like everywhere, and I'm just like, man, like I can't even, like even if you go out to the province and stuff like that, there's still like massive amounts of people everywhere, and like even though it's gone, even though I've gotten used to it and stuff like that, it's still definitely something that, that I can point out. You know what I mean? So yeah.
So how's your Tagalog improved since?
Oh man, no.
Wow,
my nose is bleeding right
what
now.
What a showbiz question!
No, I mean,
that is such a showbiz question to ask.
It is, but it's also an irrelevant question.
Are there any Tagalog words you've learned?
You know, it's
since coming here.
It's getting better. All right, it's getting better. Like, especially if I'm hopping in an Uber or something like that, like, Or like a cab. Sometimes I'll be, you know, daring and grab a cab or something like that. But, you know, I know, like, you know, derecho, you know, ganon, you know, kaliwa, all that sort of stuff, right? So I know enough to get myself home, okay? And, like, sort of keep myself out of trouble and stuff like that. you know, it's still, I'm still learning and stuff like that. But it's way better than when I first got here, that's for sure. Just being around it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, what's the worst experience in terms of, say, people trying to take advantage of you? Like, you know how it is with foreigners here,
and people
try to fuck with you just because they assume that you don't know your way around or you don't speak the language. So, like,
right.
What's the worst experience you've had?
Maybe right off the top of my head is whenever I'm at Green Hills or something like that,
oh,
and I'm trying to buy like shoes or
oh,
something
no.
like that. You know,
shoot. Oh, nice.
Right away, like they, you know, they can spot me like a mile away, right? And then like every time I'm like, I would go down there, you know, I'm wearing a pair of Converse right now, and I paid like 700 peso for it. And then I'm like,
shoe shopping.
I need you guys to come back.
Yeah,
Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa.
And Green Hills, if he wants to shop at Green Hills.
Well.
Yeah, I know, but it's what he wants.
Okay.
Well, I mean, whatever, like, you know, like, I'm familiar
I know,
with that
we
place.
Know a few guys.
Okay, yes. Perfect, right? I'm not a big shoe guy anyways.
Okay.
I was like, oh, 700 peso, yeah, no problem. But like, you know, my cousin was with me. He's like, oh, nice shoes, where'd you get those? I'm like, oh, Green Hills. I'm like, he's like, how much you pay for it? I'm like, 700. He's like, he gave me that look. He's like, fuck. This foreigner, right?
This guy.
You know? He's like, you know, you can got those for like 350, right? I'm like, really? Like, you know? So, I mean, in terms of that, like, yeah. And then, I mean, there's certain other places that will remain nameless, like, where sort of got taken advantage of. But
oh,
shit. You know? But, hey.
Are the lights down low?
The lights are down low. There's a lot of music.
Oh, no.
And, you know, usually there's
alcohol involved.
Alcohol involved.
Alcohol involved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what's funny about these Patay Sindi places? We call them Patay Sindi because the lights go on and off. Patay Sindi in Tagalog, right? A lot of them are actually located within the vicinity of a school.
Wow, really?
Yeah, this is pretty common.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Actually, I will. Yeah,
you can attest to
that.
Okay.
I can attest to that.
So this is really just funny to me that, you know, these establishments are located within, you know, a
school district.
Yeah, the radius of a school.
Yeah, that is kind of odd.
It's pretty fucked up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what's
the thing about it? There are like three high schools within the vicinity of Burgos.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, of course you know that.
Yeah,
because that's your hood.
It's my hood. It's my backyard.
It is your hood.
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes away from here.
Burgos is all right. I had some fun on Burgos.
Wow.
It's pretty good. It's not too bad.
I'm not sure if this is something we want to explore on this podcast.
No, because they're nice food joints, like the filling station.
Wow. Yeah.
Filling station's on Burgos.
Your priorities are clearly not aligned.
Cigarette is
yeah,
on Burgos.
Hey, I think, it's, you know, if there's an unleashed sort of edition.
This is the unleashed.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, let's go right ahead. Like, what's the craziest thing that's happened to you at Burgos?
I think it's aligned with your character anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I went to this one place. We all know there's, let's just say there's a boxing ring in there.
Yo!
Okay.
15
yeah.
minutes away from this place.
Yeah, we know where that is.
Let's just say that it's probably not a good idea for me to go back there.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what did you do?
Wait, did it involve one of the little people?
It did. Absolutely. It did. Okay. I want to preface this by saying that I love all types of people. Okay. We had a little person back home that was involved in wrestling. I love them to bits. Everybody loved them. I was at his wedding, okay, for God's sakes, all right?
They have little people marriage?
Absolutely.
Wow. What
are
you are
not animals.
You're a pig.
Yeah.
Fuck is wrong
they
with
are,
you?
They are human beings like you and me. They just have different statures in life.
Anyways. So, okay. After this incident happened, I had a group of friends that came into town.
Okay.
And then I was like, hey guys, you guys want to do some cool stuff? Let's go to Burgos, right? And they're like, okay, let's go to this place with a boxing ring. And I'm like, no! I gotta hop a new Uber right now. And they're like, why? And I'm like, well, I was super embarrassed to say it to you, right? So anyways, I'm gonna say it right now because it's whatever. I was there with a group of friends and we went inside. And mind you, like, you know, obviously you had a couple drinks with me and stuff like that. And again, like I said, you know, I love all types of people, right? I didn't go in there. I didn't go inside the ring or whatever like that.
There's a ring inside.
There's a
ring
inside,
right?
Yes. I didn't go in there. But let's just say, you know, I helped out with the celebration, you know? So whenever one of the dudes won,
yeah,
and he came out of the ring, I just, you know, wanted to give him, like, a big hug, you know?
Okay.
I didn't see anything wrong with that, right? So, but apparently the guys in the establishment thought that was, that, you know, that's sort of totally offside, and they proceeded to escort me out of the
damn
building, right? But, I mean, like, to tell you honestly, the guys that I went with, like, They would do, like, way worse, you know what I mean? I thought I was being nice and just, like, having a good time or blah, 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 but...
You were supportive.
I was being supportive, exactly.
Yeah.
But apparently they didn't think that, but...
Oh, no.
It's so, like,
yeah,
the bouncers carried you out, or did they escort you out?
Yeah. You know, escorted, carried out, yeah. Yeah,
well,
say so. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean... On Burgos, that was probably the craziest thing I've witnessed so far.
He classifies it with, or he clarifies to say, on Burgos.
Yeah,
that
on
crazy
Burgos,
shit happened elsewhere.
Burgos, yeah.
Because recently, you know, we know that you've been doing a bit of traveling.
Yes. Yeah. Lot,
so
yeah.
Yes,
so,
like, which places have you visited
so
far?
Where have you been?
Okay,
so
off the top of my head, right, like Puerto Galera.
Okay.
Cool, I'll tell you guys my Puerto Galera story.
Sure.
Right? And this is around the time of Holy Week.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Just
so,
the context.
In context, right?
In context.
And so I first go there with my cousin and her husband. We check out Puerto Galera. We check out White Beach and stuff like that. We stay there for like pretty much one night. Then we head back to the province because my dad's from Calipan in Mindoro.
Cool.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I you know. And you guys know how the province gets, man.
Yeah.
Like, I can only stand a couple of days there before I'm just like, man, like,
I need to do something.
Yeah, I need to do something. I need some internet or something like that, right? Luckily, my buddies that were from out of town, they called me up and they're like, hey, we're going to Puerto Galera, like, for Holy Weekend. And I'm like, sweet, let's go. Like, I was just there. It's awesome there. Let's go down, blah, blah, blah. And so I get a ride down there. I see my buddies. We're there. And it's like, I think it's like Friday night. And we were myself, my buddy, and then his friend, and then another friend of ours. So there's four of us.
Yeah.
Right. And we're like, it's great because they come with sports analogies when it comes to like trying to hook up and stuff like that. So you know, we're talking about it's playoff time. You know, we need a championship run. You know what I mean? And we're all looking, you know, we need like blah blah blah. And so, anyways, you know, the night comes and we all sit down. And we're, you know, okay, actually, no, this that was the Saturday. The Friday, we just start way too early. Like, we start way too early. Like, we start just, you know, hammering it down. Like,
was there a nightlife on a Friday? On Good Friday?
Yeah, there was.
In Boracay.
Because Jesus just died.
Yeah, the parties died with Jesus Christ. I've experienced
yes,
this
it's true,
in Boracay on a Good Friday. So I'm surprised that Puerto Galera isn't like that.
It was packed. Like, it was packed. Like, when I was there with my cousins on the Tuesday, like, compared to a Friday, like, it was, like, packed. Like,
wow.
Compared to the Tuesday, right? On Tuesday, it was probably, like, a quarter of the people. Like, tons of people. Anyways, we start, on the Friday night, we start way too early. So, like, we take the first game on the knee, right? You know what I mean? Like, we're like, yeah, we beat ourselves that night, right? So, like, we're down by one, right?
QB knees all the way in the fourth quarter.
The next night, we're like, screw this, we're gonna start late, you know, and
get
like,
this
get,
right.
We're gonna get this right, right? We need to get a win here, right? Anyway, so we eat dinner, we find a spot on the beach, right? And it's crowded, right? And we're there, we get a picture or whatever, right? And then we're like, okay, guys, you know, it's myself and my buddy. So we don't know too much Tagalog, but our other two buddies, they're, you know, they're super fluent. They're born here, right? And we're like, okay, guys, you know, it's clutch time. We're gonna send you guys out because you already know how to speak Tagalog, right? You guys go out there, get some honeys, bring it back to the table, right? So we're there, we're waiting. Almost like 10 minutes later, they come back empty-handed. Actually, they start walking back, right? We see them, and there's two girls in front of them. So I'm like, yo, okay, we're business, right? But then the two girls keep walking, and then they break off, and we're like, yo, like, I thought they were with you. And they're like, who? And by the time they saw, like, those girls were gone, right?
Damn.
I'm just like, yeah, exactly. They come back, we're like, yo, guys, what happened? And they're like, dude, it's Holy Week right now in Puerto Galera. and we're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, dude, we couldn't, because there was like a big crowd, right? And they're like, we could not go in there without being groped. And I was just like, what are you talking about, man? He's like, well, you know, Puerto Galera is like known to have a lot of the gay community down there. And I'm just like, and like, you know, again, preface this, I have a lot of gay friends back at home.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all gay, right?
And it's all good, it's all good.
People understand, yeah.
And I was just like, are you shitting me right now? Are you kidding? I'm like, no way, no way. Strip. Like, it's our turn. It's our turn. So me and my buddy go out, right? And we go the other way, we're going through, we're like looking around, we're like, dude, there's no chicks here. Like, we picked the wrong weekend. This is like not happening, right? So we're going around and we're just like, there's this part where like it gets there's like parts where the shops and stuff like that,
yeah,
right? And then like we're walking along and there's just like the beach is on one side, and like all of a sudden we cross this one place where like all these lights are flashing. Like, lights are flashing on the crowd, and then we look, and there's, like, maybe, like, two girls just sprinkle in there, and we're just like,
why?
Damn it, we came at the wrong time, right? And then we're just like, okay, well, what are we going to do now? And then they're like, my buddy's like, sabang. They're like, let's go to Sabang.
All the way up north.
Right? We're like, let's go to Sabang. And they were like, yeah, I'm down.
Actually, yeah, that is a better idea. That was a better idea.
It was great. Well... Because they're like, you know, we're half cut. We're like, screw it. It's better than staying here, right?
Cut
your
losses.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So we go up to the main road, and then we talk to one of the dudes. And this is midnight. Okay, this is 12 at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Shit.
And like, none of the guys wanted to take us there. None of the trike guys. Except for one guy. One guy, he's like, yeah, I'll take you guys home for sure. The guy's like, oh, it's going to be half an hour. We're like, screw it. We're drunk. Whatever. We go on this tricycle ride. Through the mountains, in the province, half an hour, we're like, where the hell are we going, right? All of a sudden, we see the town, Sabang, we get in there, and then one of our buddies, he's like, hey, there's this one place, you know, one establishment, that we should go check out, right? And like you know, there, you know how there's like a certain color, like, district?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
This was a certain color, like, hallway. Basically, okay?
Wow.
Yeah,
one hallway.
Really low ceilings, just like really, like you just gotta squeeze
it,
right? But I tell you what, as soon as we stepped through that curtain, it was like a time warp. Like we just got like time warp into this other dimension where it was just like everything was red, you know, and like there's just people there and just like this crazy party, and it's like, honestly, because you walk through Sabang and like there's nothing going on, but as soon as you get, it's like everybody was there at this one.
They knew where the party was.
Exactly, they knew where the party was. Right.
So the big question is, did you get your W?
Did I get my? Not that night. No. Of course, we were 0-2. We were 0-2 that whole weekend, right? But yeah, that place at Sabang it was super fun, and like that was it was seriously like a time warp, like, and like. We tried to salvage the whole night, but it was hard.
And then
I think it was way too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was way too late, and like this and that and all that sort of stuff. But the next day, you know, this is a cherry on top. The next day, when we were going home, we tried to charter a ferry or whatever, but like the lineup, the queue was just packed. Like the whole beach was just packed. I'm like, screw this. Let's get a boat, like a private boat or whatever. So we ended up getting this private boat. And like it was like literally like a like a banana boat.
Okay.
It was like super thin, right? It had a thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
only
yeah.
Meant to go like maybe 5 clicks away. Not even like it's supposed to like stay close to shore.
And your seat is like just a plank, a wooden
exactly.
plank.
Wooden
yeah.
plank, right? And we're there, myself, two of my other buddies, we're on our way. The trip starts out awesome. Like nice sunny, no clouds, nothing, right? We're just enjoying life, right? We're on the water, blah blah blah. Halfway through, clouds start coming
oh,
in.
No.
Blue turns into gray. All of a sudden, we don't know where the hell we are, right? We're like,
in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, we're in the middle of this, whatever it is, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, drops of rain come down. And we're like, okay, guys, I think it's raining right now. And like, it gets more choppier out there. And we're like, holy shit, guys, I think this is it. I think we're done. Like, I don't know, because we can't see. Like where we're going,
yeah.
Even the driver couldn't see,
mm-hmm.
right? And it starts raining, and it's all like bumpy and stuff. At one point, like I'm pretty sure they were Coast Guards because they had like
uniforms.
Yeah, they had stuff, right? They came on, they come in two jet skis. We're like, okay, thank God, they're here to save us, right? And then they're talking, and then all the next thing you know, they take off. We're like, wait, where are they going? Like, we know where we're going. But, you know, but it was, like, maybe 15 minutes in that whole ordeal. And then, like, after that, we got through it. you know, sky cleared and stuff like that, and then we end up landing in Batangas, like, all in one piece.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was pretty crazy. Like, if you guys were there, like, it was pretty tense. I was just like, I don't think
this is how I go.
Yeah, this is how we go. This is actually it. You know?
That's karma's way of trying to get back at you for getting a W or trying to get a W over Holy Week.
Oh wait, you know what? I just thought of that now. Like, right,
that's karma.
Sorry, Jesus.
All the ladies were with their families in Holy Week.
Yeah, that is Jesus giving you a message.
That is true. But I mean, what are four guys gonna do on a weekend at a beach?
I don't pray.
Prayer meeting, do yoga,
hold an Easter vigil. Oh yes, so you yoga.
Easter vigil.
Yeah.
Easter vigil.
Yeah.
That's what they call it now in Holy Week.
I mean that's just a couple of things that happened within this four months that I've been here. Like I talked to my dad the other day, and he's like, yeah, you have now. I've told him like what I've been doing, and he's like, you have now officially seen more places than I have. And this is my dad talking. He's born here in the Philippines. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. You know, like this time around, not only did I come here for wrestling, but I told myself, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna come here and try to see as much as the country as I can. And I think I've done pretty well. I like the north. You know, there's a couple of places in the north that I really want to go see still. La Union.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I need to hop on a board really, really quick because it's
that is
wild.
True. That is true.
Yeah.
Yo, let's finish the set of shows and then let's make some time.
But it's not season though.
Not,
it's not surf season.
It's not surf season.
Not.
But then it's just it's really.
Hey, I know,
it is,
but still, but it's still not like the best you can do.
Yeah.
But if you want to go, it's fine. Yeah, we should totally
we should,
go.
Yeah,
group a bike.
Yeah,
yeah.
From that?
Road trip.
Yeah, so like, actually, yes,
I could use the road trip.
So can I?
Is this an open invitation to anybody out there listening?
I don't think you want to do that.
You're gonna open invitation to the PW roster.
Yeah, so, you know, through all your travels so far, all the crazy shit you've done, all the fun stuff you've done, what's the biggest takeaway been?
You know what? And this is going to sound really, really sappy, but the one thing that I've learned about coming here to the Philippines, especially, like, hanging out with in the province with my family, you know, my dad's side, my mom's side, it's like, I've redefined what family means to me, you know what I mean?
That was a genuine awe. That wasn't the.
Yeah,
it's
no. Just, honestly, like, when I went to go, I just recently did a trip to Batangas with my dad's side of the family, like cousins, their kids, blah blah blah, this and that, and like it was a crazy party. Like, I'm pretty sure you guys have been to many of these, and you guys are probably used to them. But like, the thing starts at 6 p.m. at night and 6 a.m. the next morning. The videoki machine is on the whole time.
Hold on. Is this the reason why you were not at Resba?
Huh?
Is this the one party the reason why you were not
I wasn't
at
there.
The last show?
Listen, I wasn't there because I gotta maintain this beautiful town, right? I mean, you guys understand. Like, yeah. No, but,
also, you jumped this guy.
Yeah, I jumped somebody. I jumped somebody in this room. Like, you know, you guys gonna... Yeah. Are you okay, though? But, I just thought I wanted to have a little holiday, and, like, you didn't want to do it for me. And I was just like, listen, I gotta go on this holiday, and that's what happened. Like,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Right, yeah. But again, like I was saying, like that whole experience and just like going out, like, you know, family is really important. You know what I mean? And like it's definitely shown here in the Philippines. You know, so I think if I could take something from this whole trip so far, it'd be like just knowing how important family is to me. You know.
So okay, 4 months here in the Philippines,
yeah.
You've been through all these experiences, seen all these places, and in between all of that, you've managed to find a niche in the Philippine wrestling landscape.
Yeah.
So tell me what that's like, or how that's been for you, in the sense that you're essentially an outsider.
Yeah.
But you...
You are welcome here.
Yeah, who's become very much welcome, very much a part
you're
of
like
the
David Pomerantz.
yes. You're basically like David Pomerantz, Ace Martin. You know, these American singers who were not famous in the U.S., but have found so much fame in Metro Manila.
Yeah.
Not saying that you're not famous in Canada.
Nobody knows me in Canada, trust me, nobody.
But seriously, this is partly why I wanted you on here after like 4 months since you came here.
So like you have a better idea now of the landscape,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, what have you learned? How have you found it so far?
Yeah.
How are you liking it? Yeah, how are you liking it?
Man, I love it. I just absolutely love it. Just to the fact that just being here in the country where like my parents are born and being able to apply my craft and just be, you know, just because when I first came here, I didn't know. Like I didn't know if I'd be accepted. I don't know if I was, you know what I mean, if I fit in and stuff like that. And like the guys here just like, you know, done that tenfold, you know, and I have nothing but like gratitude and appreciation for it. And like a lot of the time, you know, I find myself sort of just passing on some knowledge, you know what I mean? And like it's something that I have always loved doing, whether it's, you know, wrestling or, you know, like playing drums or something, like, whatever it is, you know, something that I love doing. And if I can teach it or like pass on some knowledge, like that gives me like a lot of gratification, or you know, it makes me feel good inside, you know what I mean? And it's coming from a genuine place, you know. And like I said before, man, like the fans, they were always like from the beginning when I first watched PWR on YouTube or whatever, the fans are just like, they're just fucking awesome, you know. And like being able to finally like wrestle in front of those fans, it's kind of been kind of weird. I know you were talking about this
earlier.
We were talking about this earlier, how like, you know, I would like I would go out there, you know, trying to be a heel and like trying to do my thing, but like, you know, I'm greeted with like, you know, with applause and like cheers and stuff, and I'm just like, man, like, you know,
you're already healing it up.
Yeah. How do you do this, right?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I'm like trying to figure out, like, you know, and like now I'm just like sort of just like not doing anything flashy, you know what I mean? We're just trying to eye gouge my way through a match, you know what I mean? Just like anything to like draw heat out of these guys. Right? But I think I've figured something out, especially for this Sunday on
Eastwood.
Yeah,
Father's Day. Yeah.
On Father's Day.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't tell them.
Right. But it's gonna be great. It's gonna be something I'm gonna try out, and like hopefully the fans will be responsive and stuff. And but yeah, I mean other than that, man, like getting to roll around with everybody on the roster has just been great. You know, like being able to figure out like everybody's sort of like abilities and stuff like that, and like just again helping them out wherever I can. You know what I mean? It's just been so awesome for me. You know what I mean? And like. Like I've never wrestled inside a mall before, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
I was gonna ask you if there are any shows you got booked in Canada where, you know, it's in a mall or outside a mall, or, you know,
yeah, I've never, I've
in a
never,
theme park,
right? Yeah,
because we're doing a theme park.
Yeah.
A mini theme park, yeah. Inside a mall.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
There is a first for everything.
There is, absolutely, and I don't care if it's like SM or MOA or whatever it is. I want to wrestle in the mall. It's like WCW back in the day when they used to wrestle in the mall.
Great America.
Yeah, right?
Great America.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I remember like Hogan and like Big Boss Man, like always like in a mall. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
So you mentioned the fans earlier, right?
Yeah.
And all these years of wrestling in the US and Canada,
yeah.
What's the biggest difference between those fans and our fans?
Because they don't, it's like kind of out here, like, they collectively don't give a fuck.
That is true.
That is true.
Mean?
That is true.
Yeah, like so. If one dude at Heckler's Row will start something, then everybody fucking joins in, right? Which is great, you know. And like back home or any other places that I've wrestled, there's only that one or two or three guys that are like leading everything, and then everybody else is just sort of like, well, whatever.
Right? But you guys,
yeah, out here, it's like everybody. It's like a communal thing, you know, like.
Hive mind.
Yeah, you know.
It's kind of freaky, actually.
Yeah, it is, right? And I think that's pretty cool. Like, I think that sort of separates, you know, crowds that I've been through from here.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I was going to ask a question, but as usual, Carlos is being distracting again. Thanks, Carlos. I wanted to ask about... going off of what you said about the fans, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you have this difference between the fans in Canada, the fans here in the Philippines. Like, what's the best chant you've experienced or the best chant you've heard? Whether in the matches you've had here or, like, the matches you've seen yourself?
Okay, it's not a chant. It's not a chant for
a guy?
No, it wasn't towards
for you.
Me.
Yeah,
okay.
For you.
But it was in a match where... I wrestled this guy. His name's Hurricane Adam Ryder back home. And he kind of, like, after watching the video back and hearing the chant, he does kind of look like Kevin Spacey, right? So there's this one guy in the crowd. He starts chanting, "Pay it forward." And then I was like, wait a second. Like, why is he chanting like a... And I'm like... Oh, and I see it, and I saw it, like, for a split second, you see, like...
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, you see Kevin Spacey and Adam Ryder, right? And I'm like, wow, that guy's, like, going deep, you know? It's just, like, coming out of the levels.
I wish he chatted, like, Kaiser Soze instead.
Yeah, that would have been good, too.
Or, you know, you see dead people, or
yeah,
whatever.
Well, I'm pretty sure he was gonna...
No, that's Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
that's
Bruce. I knew I was missing something. I mean, bald guys.
I'm pretty sure he was gonna run down the whole Kevin Spacey, like...
Filmography.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure he just didn't get a chance to, but that was pretty funny. Like, I was like, wow, like, I can't believe I didn't notice that while I was wrestling or whatever, but I definitely was, like, laughing after the fact, after watching it, you know? I would get Rufio chants.
Yeah.
It's the hair.
No, it's
also,
not just the hair.
It's not just, I mean, it's not just the hair, but then the hair is the...
I think someone has.
Part.
Someone here
part.
Has mentioned Rufio.
You guys gotta understand, back home, right? I'm the only Filipino cat.
That is
there,
true.
Right?
And
so,
Rufio
yeah.
is Filipino.
So it's kind of like, oh, Filipino Rufio.
Yes.
And it's funny. There's I would notice, like, guys. There's certain guys in the crowd that have, like, a certain, like, oh, that's kind of like borderline racist, or I'm not gonna chant with that. And they're just like sort of just like whatever, right? And then there's other guys who are just like, Rufio, Rufio. And like me being a professional, like, yeah, I'm like there, like, hell yeah, I'm Rufio, you know? And I start trying to actually...
Rufio is pretty badass.
He is badass.
He is badass.
He's also pretty dead.
Wow.
Is he dead?
Wow.
Well,
the character.
Oh, okay. I thought, like,
the
wait,
lost
is that
the
Bosco
died? No, I think
Bosco died.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit,
yeah. Actually, like, the...
Like, he was just here for Comic-Con.
The weeks following that, I watched Hook. I tried to see
that movie.
Right? I tried to see what Rufio does.
Yeah, yeah.
And then next time I see that one guy that starts the Rufio chant, I'm gonna be ready, right? I'm gonna bust out the Rufio, like, movie. You know what I mean? So, that was another chant that's probably stood on my mind. But other than that, man, it was just, you know, just like your typical Billy, you suck.
Yeah.
Right, sort of that stuff, or
not a lot of that over here, as far as I can hear, you know.
Yeah,
no one's
not a lot of anything.
Yeah, they love you, man.
Yeah, I think it comes from a place of respect.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Actually, we were talking about this a while ago.
Everyone
just, like, the second you get in the ring, everyone's just like, because they haven't seen that level of wrestling yet, and they're just like a gape mouth.
Right.
Just
right.
What is going on?
Yeah,
right.
Piggybacking off of that, we have to talk about the JDL Billy Suede match.
Because
Revolution X.
Absolutely.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
20
minutes.
It's not that long.
No, the video is 20 minutes.
So this match that people were just raving about, I still consider it one of the best I've seen.
Here,
in person.
In local
in
soil.
Person.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
In PWR. And I have to ask, like, what was that like, putting that match together first?
Right, well, you know, first of all, you know, all hats off to JDL, you know, because he went in there and, you know, gave me a run for the money, you know what I mean? So, but in terms of putting it together, man, like, I knew that, you know, there's some hype about this whole match, right? I mean, I'm taking on the top guy in the company, you know, and I'm like the new guy, right? So putting it together was really, I was just like, you know, I'm a stickler for storytelling, right? And for me, storytelling involves getting the emotion out of the crowd, you know what I mean? And doesn't necessarily mean moves, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just about, all, for me, it's all about the things in between those moves, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if like, selling, stuff like that, you know? And, like, you know, figuring this and all this out. But putting it together was pretty fun, you know? I asked JD, I was like, you know, again, what kind of story do you want to tell? You know, like, okay, well, we got this guy that thinks he can run, you know, run over everybody and just come in here, like, he can do whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then you have this guy that's standing up to him and actually... you know, defending like a whole nation, right? Because I think I mentioned that he was like the face of professional wrestling in Philippines, right? And, you know, he's got that sort of deal. So he's there to prove me wrong, basically, and basically just show me and show everybody else that, you know, like, pro wrestling is strong here in the Philippines, you know? And I think we got that message across, you know what I mean? And, you know, putting it together was fun. There's a couple of things where I was just like, where he suggested, and I was like, fuck yeah, let's, you know, my eyebrows are raised right now. If you guys can't see that right now, but I was just like, hell yeah, man, let's do that for sure. You know, that's going to get the crowd going, you know what I mean?
So just to dissect one segment of that match. No, just the finish.
There. Okay, serious.
Just the finish.
Okay.
Who came up with that? Just to put it on.
Yeah, yeah. Whose idea?
But whose
record,
idea
yeah,
was
I'll,
that?
I give all credit to JDL for that, for sure. Yeah.
Because holy shit,
the finish landed on Reddit.
Okay.
Yeah.
The backhand spring into the Inasala.
Yeah.
How the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I know you guys like barely touch.
Right.
Like leading
that
up
is
to
true.
This.
Yeah.
Leading up to this match.
Yeah.
How the fuck did you get that right?
Well, you know, I'm sure it's been you've seen that sort of similar spot before on the indie wrestling scene, right? So I knew about that, and then when he brought it up, I was like, hell yeah, we can do that. You know what I mean? Because like it all just goes together. You know what I mean? And I think it was just, you're right. Like we didn't we didn't see each other before that. You know
you
what
guys
I mean?
Like
so,
like in training, you barely like
yeah.
locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing. Like, some guys you have good chemistry with, you know? And the thing is like, if he's game and I'm game, you know, we're only going to expect the best out of each other, right? So, I think, you know, you can't really plan for any botches or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
So, the best you can do is just go in there being 100% of in your own ability and know that the other guy's going to take care of you and just hope for the best, I guess. You
no,
know?
Because
and,
it landed perfect.
Yeah,
it landed
sure.
close to perfect.
Sure. Here it comes, yes. We get
sure,
it.
We get it.
We
love the finish. We get it.
You're not the only one who loves the finish. You're not the only one who loves, you know, certain spots of the match. Shout out to George.
Yeah.
I got to ask, though.
Yeah.
One of the most, as you mentioned, you are a stickler for storytelling in the ring,
yeah.
And I think that when you step in a boot camp with us, when you start teaching your master class, so to speak, that is one of the most that is what your sessions revolve around. And I think that, you know, not to suck your dick too much, but you know,
go ahead.
All right. No, but seriously though, it is like one of the most important things that we have learned in boot camp, and
cool.
I think that people who come by don't focus on it as much. Like, Kai Katana came by and he taught us a lot of how to chain stuff and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But you were the one who really stressed how important it is to, you know, to actually tell a story in the ring with what you do and
yeah.
how you take things. Kamus knows this, I know this. And I think that other places, if you will, which I'm just going to leave it at that, other places are kind of remiss at not having that kind of training. And
yeah.
For one thing, I gotta ask, how does one learn all those nuances even without, you know, getting trained from a veteran such as yourself?
Right.
How do they learn on their own even?
Right. You know, a lot of that comes from later down the road in your career, like, you know, first of all, you learn the basics, you know, and then after that, you learn how to work, and then after that, you learn how to tell a story,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, so the more times you get in there, the more times you roll around with people, you get to that point. And on top of that as well, is like, you know, if you watch tape and stuff like that, and, you know, most of that too is like, you know, there's a lot of guys out there in the business, you know, that have been there for longer, been in like top spots, that they always say, like, you know, it's about, we're storytellers, you know, we're going out there, blah, blah, blah. And like, these are guys that are like at top levels, you know what I mean? So I would take that into heart, you know what I mean? So later on in my career, I would start after, you know, I've done my basics, learn how to work. I start integrating storytelling, you know, and that only comes from experience, you know what I mean? And like being able to go through certain things where it's like, I'm doing a match and I finish the match, and then after that I'm like, oh fuck, you know what, I should have done this way, or I should have done this so that I can show the people that I'm doing this, you know what I mean? Like telling a story is basically you know, just going out there and, you know, just, I don't know, like, just telling a story, you know what I mean? Like, and the way you do it is just through trial and error and, like, trying to, you know, if you want to go the route of watching things, like, see, like, you know, watch the match and then, but look at it as a worker, you know what I mean? Not as a fan.
Right,
and, like,
right.
And, like, you can dissect it and say, like, okay, this is happening here. And then you ask yourself, you know, why is he doing this? You know, what is the reason for him to do this? Or, like, you know, an easy storytelling is like working a body part. You know what I mean? That's, like, the easiest thing, right? Because, like, it lends itself to writing itself. Like, say, like, if I'm in there, I'm working on the leg or something like that, right? Later on, we know that later on in the match that leg, that you have a bum leg, right? And that's going to, it's going to work into what's going to happen. Or like, you're not gonna be if I'm there kicking the shit out of your leg, and then, like, later on in the match you're running on it, you know what I mean? There's no story there, right? But if you go there, if the fans remember, like, oh, he's, you know, his leg's done, and anything he does after that, if you're able to tell the story where, like, your leg hurts and you're, it's out of commission, then you know, it's better for the whole match. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So again, I guess to answer your question about learning how to tell a story, it's just really experience, you know what I mean? And just, like, getting yourself in that creative mode, too. That's another thing, too. Like, movies,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Like, a lot of the stuff for promos, whenever I do a promo, I always channel, like, favorite scenes of favorite movies that I have, or, like, favorite actors that I have, you know what I mean? Like, that first promo that I cut with, like, the tea and
the
all
tea,
that.
Yes,
stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Like, I'm
kicking ass from the upper class.
Yeah. I'm a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, right? So, and there's this one actor, his name's Michael Parks, rest in peace. His characters were just, like, because he played multiple characters on
a lot of his films.
Movies, right? He was the sheriff in Kill Bill, and then he was also Esteban Vallejo in Kill Bill 2, right? And, I just, like, I love those performances. And then, so, like, say, for example, Esteban Vallejo, he's this really, like, mild-mannered, old-type dude, and he ducks like this,
long ass.
And then, so I would just think about that, and, like, you know, that would be the basis of my storytelling, right? I want to give this promo, but I can deliver it in this way, you know? And then that itself tells a story. Like, you could go in there and be like Hogan, like, rah, 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 rah. And it has this really aggressive tone, but you go in there with, like, a Jake the Snake, right? He goes in there, he's super calm, you know, and, like, it's super intense, right? So that definitely tells a story. Another guy, Larry Bishop, he plays Larry Gomez, who is the strip club manager in Kill Bill 2. Fucking my, like, one of my favorite scenes in movies of all time. I just love how he is, and there's a couple, that's, I drew stuff from that character, where, like, he's kind of, like, a sleazy guy, but, like, he's the boss or whatever, so, like, that whole promo was, like, I'm just gonna be this sort of, like, boss, like, don't give a fuck, I'm the upper class type dude, and just, like, you know, just sort of, just, like, think that I'm talking down to somebody, you know what I mean, and then, like, I would just channel that and, like, figure out, like, oh, how would Larry Gomez deliver this line, right? And then I would sort of just do that sort of deal, right?
So you talked about experience and how it's pretty much helped you do what you've been doing, and it shows. It's something that a lot of people have come to appreciate.
Yeah.
So that said, let's rewind back to the JDL match. Because the question is really about the JDL match.
Yeah.
Like, at what point did you realize that you had it? Like, you had everybody eating off the palm of your hand. It's kind of like when you're playing a game. Say you're the Warriors in Game 5. Like, you knew you were going to beat the Cavs already. Like, at what point did you know that you had everybody?
As soon as JD came out of the curtain. As soon as he came out of the curtain. Like, when he does his thing. When he raises
his hand,
he did that. The whole crowd did it. I was just like, "Yep, we got him."
They love him. They love him so much.
Yeah, they love him so. That's what you want as a heel. You want a guy that is loved by everybody. Makes my job easy. You know, I don't have to do anything.
And then they love you too.
Well, I mean, in this case, yeah. But dude, if you were to ask me at what point we had him in the hands, it was right when JD came out and he raised his hands up in the air and everybody's just like, hey, you know. Also in the ring, when we were in there, we were face to face, right? He did the same thing. He raised one hand to one side, crowd went nuts. Other side, all four sides. I'm just like, yep,
we got it.
We got it.
So
we didn't even touch yet. And like, I was just like, yeah, we got it.
So in the live crowds, right, in the live setting, it's like you guys can do no wrong. And PWR, for the most part, like we've found a way to engage our crowd in such a way that there is a mutual sense of respect.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same case online. I'm not sure how active you are on social media, like if you see the comments or whatever.
I'm not active at all. I don't even know my Facebook.
Good for you.
I don't even know my Facebook ads. I don't know what my Instagram is like. I don't know.
Good for you, because like the way we are as a culture is that we are keyboard warriors.
Yeah, right. Kind of shit and love. Hey.
Like pro wrestling fans are keyboard warriors. We're bad enough at that as is, but Filipino wrestling fans are the worst,
because
like we find every little bit to nitpick on, to obsess on, and we'll compare everything. We would say the WWE, or like we'll always critique acting and whatnot. So like from a veteran perspective, from your point of view, what do you say, or what can you say about that?
I mean, I can't really say anything that's gonna make people change their minds or stop, you know, doing all these comments or whatever. But like, I mean, like me for myself, I just do my best to ignore it. You know what I mean? To me, in general, whether it's keyboard warriors or whether it's, you know, people in front of my face or whoever it is, wrestling related, non wrestling related, you know. Again, we're going back to the Zen Billy Suede here, and you know, I've just learned throughout like my years and stuff like that that like, you know, I just learn to filter out all that sort of, I guess, I don't know,
hate.
Not, yeah, you know what I mean, like. It does nothing for me, you know. Maybe before, yeah, you know, I would let it sort of like, you know, affect me and stuff like that. But you know, like, not to like cut this answer short, but like, you know, it just I have no time for you know, negative or anything like that. You know, I'm more concentrated on you know, what's best for myself and what's best for, you know, people that are around me. You know what I mean? Again, like, if you're a keyboard warrior, fine. You go ahead, do your thing, right? I always thought, like especially, I guess, when it relates to wrestling, like, we're the guys in there. You know, we're the guys in there. We're doing our thing. We're busting our ass off out there, you know. And I can care less of what, you know, people online want to say about, you know, my work or anybody else's work. Because, quite honestly, you know, like whatever, you know, like that's why I hate people that dislike. I dislike and tend to stay away from people that just like just the stupidest things that they will comment about, and like they, you know, they're not the ones that are doing this sort of stuff.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean? And like it's just like, it's like why are you even wasting your time, you know what I mean? That's just me on that sort of deal. But yeah, I mean, if unless you're doing it, you're in there busting your ass or whatever it is, unless you're the one that's doing this stuff, then, you know, you have no, to me, you have no say in what we do or what anybody else does. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay. When we first had you on the podcast, you mentioned that you basically have an open ticket. So, like, you're here indefinitely.
Yeah.
And I don't want to assume that if that's still the case or whatever. I'm not going to ask because, I don't want people to, like, keep track of, like, your whereabouts.
Yeah,
hello.
Especially
immigration.
Especially immigration.
I don't want you to get in trouble because you're a friend, right? But I got to ask, like, is there anything on your to-do list either as an individual or, say, as a wrestler that you still want to do while you're here in the Philippines?
Yeah, I mean, fuck, man. Like, there's... The wrestling scene here is still, like I said in the first podcast, like young and vibrant, and there's like I want to be a part of it, you know. And like you know, 4 months later, you know, I was supposed to only be here for 3 months, you know, but I've decided to like ride out the rest of my time here.
Your legal stay.
My
legal stay.
I'm still here legally. But I've actively looked for, you know, options to extend that, you know. One is the awesome Balak Bayan program.
Hey, what is that program?
It's basically like my mom,
right.
She's a dual citizen. If I was to travel with her into the Philippines, then I would enjoy the same privileges that she has.
Okay.
Yeah.
She is here with you, or in Canada?
No, she's here. She's
okay,
here
okay.
at the moment. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hi, mom.
Hi, tita.
Hi, tita. We're good boys. We're good boys.
Yeah. So, yeah. They're, that is a big help, you know, and it sort of puts my mind at ease for a bit, and, yeah, like I said, like I want to be a part of this scene as much as I can, and it's really it's great. It, like I just love being here.
I'm kind of curious though, since you said you're only going to be here, you only plan to be here for 3 months, and you ended up staying for four, maybe a little more until your legal stay is up.
Yeah.
What are your plans though when you get back to Canada? I mean, I'm curious. Is there something you're coming back to?
No, really, there really isn't.
Okay,
right. I mean,
I was just really wondering.
Besides Vancouver being an awesome place to live, and like besides like my friends there and all that sort of stuff, I decided to leave Vancouver to pursue my goals. You know what I mean? And like I said before, my goals have led me to the Philippines. You know, and. I was actually with my other buddy the other day, and we were both talking about how we were at this gym, and he directs movies and stuff, so he's here to direct movies. He's from Vancouver as well,
right?
And it's like an action film, so he's doing a bunch of stunt coordinating, and we're just sitting there, and we looked at each other, and we're like, dude, you know, if we were back home right now, we'd be working and doing all this other stuff and doing stuff other than what we're doing right now. You know what I mean? And I told him, I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, we are here doing what we want to do. And, like, we're super blessed and, like, super happy to have this opportunity. And, again, not that I'm saying that if I was back home. Well, yeah, I am saying if I was back home, it'd be hard. It'd be more challenging to keep doing what I'm doing here back home, right? Again, that being said, like, Vancouver is a great place, and like I miss it. You know, I love missing it and stuff like that. But right now, the way things are, I'm here in the Philippines, and I intend to stay here till whatever time is needed. You know.
All right. So you brought up your mom.
Wow.
Yeah. No,
wow.
No,
where
no.
is this going?
Wait. This has a point. No, I remember like right after Revolution X.
We
met your parents.
My mom was there.
Your mom was there. And you told me that was the first time she ever saw you wrestle.
Yeah.
What was that like? Because to be honest, like I know my mom's never gonna come see me.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of the issues,
but,
you know,
yeah.
with kids and Filipino moms, right?
Yeah. Oh,
like, I only know of like one truly very supportive parent group from anyone on the PWR roster.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
Shout out to Robin's dad. Robin's dad's cool.
All right.
So what was that like for you, like, right after that? Like, what did your mom say?
You know, like, my mom goes, hey, when's your next wrestling match? And then right away, I'm like, you know? Like, yeah, right? And I was like, why? And she's like, well, you want to come down. Like, you, myself and your titas want to come down and watch you. I'm like, awesome, yeah, let's do this. Like, and then it just so happened that RevX was the next show, and yeah, because you're right, like before that, the only time my mom saw me was on video, and even then she told me that, she's like, turn it off,
I can't see this.
Oh no.
Okay. And but yeah, she came down, and like I was so happy that she was there. Like, I was just ecstatic that she was there, you know, and like for her to see me do what I do, and especially here in the Philippines. Again, that's the thing. I wanted to come. One of the reasons I wanted to come to the Philippines, to the place where my parents were born, and do well, and you know, showcase what I can do. And the fact that my mom was there to go see that, hell yeah, man! Like, I was so happy, and I was so proud, and like my mom, it was funny. Like, my mom sort of like, she's like, She's like, she says she knows what's going on, you know, she knows what's, you know, what the deal is.
She knows what's
right?
up.
And then, so it's funny, like, my aunts that were there, they're like, you know, Billy, you should have won. Like, what's happening here? You should have won.
That is
and,
true.
And then my mom was like, don't.
Stop embarrassing me.
My mom was like, that's how it's supposed to be, you know, this is the thing, you know, like. I'm like, wow, mom! Like, you know how this works? And she's like, yeah, I know.
Your mom's smart enough.
Yeah, she's smart. She's smart too, right? But even then, she's like, I still think you should have won. I'm like, thanks, mom.
It could have gone either way.
Yeah. Exactly.
This guy should totally be on Comedy Manila. Open mics.
No, I'm horrible.
Are there anything, say, expectations you had heading into the Philippines or heading into the local wrestling scene that have changed between the time you came and the time since?
Well, I'm a very simple guy, right? So coming into it, I only had one thing, and that was just to show up at boot camp and take it from there. Honestly, that was just my only thing, right? Obviously, I was like, you know, trying to get on a show and stuff like that, right? But other than those two things, like, that was it, right? I knew that I wanted to come here for vacation, go see my mom and stuff like that, right? But in terms of things changing now, like, oh yeah, like, it's exceeded, like, my expectations, you know what I mean? Being able to wrestle from three shows, being able to train with everybody on the roster, you know what I mean? Like, and going to visit like all these certain places and stuff like that. Like, I've done what I wanted to do here, and I'm pretty happy about that. And there's still like a lot of time left. You know what I mean? So I'm pretty excited about that.
What about news about bookings from surrounding territories like Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, even Thailand? What about any? Is there anything new on that front?
Well, I did put in a couple words. I did reach out to those guys and stuff like that. They haven't, like, I reached out to Singapore, I reached out to Malaysia, and I think Gato as well in Thailand.
In Thailand, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, they haven't gone back to me.
Oh.
Which is fine, because you know what? Things are happening here. You know what I mean? Things are happening here, and I'd rather have that happen rather than, you know, being able to juggle. Well, I'm pretty sure I could probably juggle it, but, like, you know, and that's just telling me that, like, things are happening here right now, and that's where, like, my sort of focus would be, right?
All right, so we're about to wind down here, and I guess we might as well talk about this Sunday, because it is Father's Day, and the folks at Eastwood City are working with PWR to do Unfather's Day, right?
Unfather's
so,
Day, is that what it's called?
Yeah. It's going to be called Unfather's Day, so, like, it started towards the dads who never really grew up.
Yes, okay, nice, okay.
So
yes.
It's a nice little marketing gimmick, and I kind of know the people behind it. So, you know, shout out to the folks at Eastwood, like the marketing people. Really good job.
Yeah.
Now, you haven't wrestled at a mall before. You mentioned this earlier.
No.
So do you have, like, any weird expectations heading into this Sunday's mall show?
Not really. I'm just curious about what the environment's going to look like. If they're, like, you know what I mean? If there's going to be, like, a little, I don't know, like Krispy Kreme or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yes,
there.
Yes,
there
absolutely.
It is.
Yes.
Know,
yes.
There
is.
Like,
a Krispy Kreme. It's pretty high class.
It is. Actually,
yeah.
You know, Eastwood,
like,
and you know, it's dog friendly.
You'll fit
yeah.
in, because it's upper class.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty upper class, yeah.
These are my people.
These are your people.
I expect you guys to roll out the red
these
carpet.
These are people with money.
Yeah, perfect.
We will be getting a Jamba Juice afterwards.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Jamba Juice.
Jamba Juice.
Yes.
Yes.
Protein.
Yes.
Yes.
Extra weight.
The orange, it's off the menu, but the orange dream or something like that.
Yeah.
Orange dream. Actually, one of our buddies, Noel from Bouquet.
Yeah, Noel.
Yeah, he suggested that to us. He's like, you got to get, it's like a pineapple dream, but like
yeah,
an orange
yeah.
dream. Oh, no, it's orange dream.
And
but,
pineapple.
Yeah. But it's off the menu.
We will confirm with our friend.
Yes.
He's the beverage connoisseur of
yes.
PWR.
Yeah.
Our friend from PWR and our friend who is actually in charge of marketing for Jamba Juice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we do have a muscular friend.
They're both bald and muscular.
Stoked.
Yeah.
Any venue that is not your typical venue, I always get excited about. Because, like, if it's all about, like, getting, if we get a chance to use whatever we have around us. It just makes it even, you know, makes it even.
Are we in the middle?
Yeah, we'll be in the middle.
Nice.
In the fountain near Uniqlo, Marks and Spencer,
nice.
All that shit.
There's a fountain there?
Yes, there is
a
fountain.
Somebody's
going for a swim.
It's really high class, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And it's so high class, I think you won't have a problem getting a W by the end of the night.
Perfect.
Actually,
I like that.
Actually, yeah, Eastwood.
Is it safe to say that they're pretending to be Vegas?
No, there aren't any casinos.
They're pretending to be Singapore.
Yes.
Yeah, to an extent.
That'd be
yeah.
great, because, you know...
could use the W.
A hardworking man can use that W.
Absolutely, you know. And this is the thing about pro wrestling. This is another reason why, you know, any potential Ws at a wrestling show are always a plus. You know what I mean? And right now, this Sunday, June 18th, if any of our female contingent are out there, I really suggest this is the show to come to. Wouldn't you agree, boys?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
There's
so accessible.
The beautiful man going up against another beautiful man.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. This is why it's going to be great, because my opponent, I would have to say, not as beautiful as the beautiful one here, but he's up there. He gets a lot of...
we're getting a character now. We're getting a character now.
He gets a lot of looks from the ladies, but I'll tell you what. No, I'm sorry.
He's from the Philippines. He's probably never set. I mean, anyway, he has set foot, but he's whiter than you.
Yeah,
is that possible?
John
Lloyd.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a great show, and I'm super stoked.
Yeah, you know, on Father's Day, as I like to say, you don't bring your dads, and if you don't have dads,
my dad's going.
We can be your daddies.
Yeah.
Wow!
They can be your daddies.
Be your daddies.
Wow!
This guy right here can be your daddy.
Wow!
That'd be great. Yeah.
Oh, I did not see that one coming.
I have been mentioning this the entire time the promo materials have been coming out.
Yeah, he has. But can I just say that there have been people who have already been preparing their happy not a Father's Day post. And I just want to say, na wag kayong magsasalita ng post, because this is a true story. I have a friend who 3 years ago posted, happy not a Father's Day.
And he was a father.
Within months, he became a father.
So at the time,
is this one for
decades?
Sorry?
This is what I forgot.
No, but he is a PWR fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I found a way to stay here in the Philippines for a long time. I don't know. It's an option.
Goddamn. Seriously? Goddamn.
There are rumors that Kobe Bryant sired a child here in the Philippines, which is why he makes frequent trips here.
Wow.
And people are looking at this supposed Kobe offspring as the next big hope of Philippine basketball.
Wow. Who, though?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you
up here.
Right.
Yeah, so there are rumors of that. So I don't know about you, man, but if you want to take the Kobe route,
the wrestling Kobe Bryant.
I'm saying it's out there.
Hey, you know what? It's an option, and I like options.
Let's just not go the Colorado route, okay?
Let's
not do that at all.
You'll be unstoppable. All right, so we're not going to joke about that.
Yeah, let's not joke about that.
That's
the last thing I will say about that.
Yes. Anyway, so we're about to end the podcast now. No other way to do that by giving our picks of the week. So
it's okay, you know, because we haven't talked about a lot of wrestling. There's been a lot of good wrestling this
week.
That
is true.
No doubt.
NJPW Dominion.
Yeah.
Watch the whole damn show.
I've only seen the main event.
Yeah, because you need an hour to see the main event.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. If you're going to watch one thing, watch the main event.
Which I did.
Or watch
the juniors match,
which is absolutely amazing as well.
Which I will do that.
Yeah, that's on my
and the Intercontinental match as well.
Yes.
The Intercontinental match.
So
those three.
Your typical NJPW show. Everything.
Right.
Watch the whole damn thing.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we could probably leave that as the pick of the week. Maybe as a close runner-up, the 205 Live main event, just because it's pretty interesting.
Damn it.
I like where it's going to go.
TJ
versus... Tazawa.
Oh, okay. I heard last time, I think it was like Neville and TJ was a pretty
good. Neville
and TJ was
pretty
good.
Yeah,
that's pretty good too.
That's what I heard about that. Cool.
Yeah. You know, if there's only one thing I want TJ to do, and we love TJP on this podcast, I just wanted to wear his pendant the right way. Because the Philippine flag, the red side's on the left. And,
and the
blue is supposed to be on the left.
You call yourself Filipino TJP.
Hey.
Please fill out.
If he calls him out and he comes here, that would be great for all of us.
Yes. Absolutely.
Kuya TJ, we hope you're listening today.
Yeah, I love you, TJ, actually. So, yeah.
All right. So, beautiful Billy Suede, he will be at Unfather's Day this Sunday. He'll also be at Renaissance.
Your daddy.
June 25 at Playland at Fisher Mall. It's going to be a fun time. Make sure you stay after the show both times. I'm sure he'll be happy to post for photos, sign autographs, whatever.
Be
your daddy. get a W even. He'll be happy to do all of that. As for us.
Do you want to be his W?
Do you want to?
No, I don't want to be
stuck. No,
not him. What?
Not you.
Oh, I thought you asked me.
He talked to
the audience.
Okay.
To the market.
That sounds wrong. Sorry.
We have to stop. Can we not?
Yeah, let me do my thing. All right. So follow us on social media at the SGP Podcast, at Game on Camus, at Rose War, at _ Stancy. And we'll catch you again next week. Because next week. Next week's episode is something I've been looking for. Quite a long time, because we'll be bringing in a WrestleMania correspondent.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So we
are overdue. Wow.
But there is a reason why she is
she,
overdue.
Huh?
She. Right. So the last time we had a WrestleMania correspondent, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And
Teresa, but?
Yes.
Wait,
2 years ago. No. We met Ardo 2 years ago.
Wait, 2 years?
That's how long we've been doing this.
No, we've been doing this for 4 years.
Yeah, that's how long we've been doing
this. Year four?
Yes. So Ardo went to WrestleMania 25 and 30, talked to us about that, but we have a friend, a new friend, who'll be talking to us about her WrestleMania 33 experience.
But basically, the reason why she's delayed is the same reason why Billy here has been here for so long.
Mm. Yes. They have very similar experiences. So it's going to be a fun story, and that's something we'll get to next week on the podcast.
Yes.
Now, though, on behalf of beautiful Billy Suede, Raph Gamos, and Romaran, Stancy here, signing out.
And sit down.
Be humble.
Let's do some yoga. Glorious. No, I'm